The starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number two of the starting lineup. Good morning to you. We're worldwide at 991thesportsanimal.com, locally FM dial 99.1. At the AM dial of 990, my name is Tyler Ivins. His name, that's Will West. And the starting lineup is being brought to you by our friends over at Junk Be Gone. Lots for us to get into before 9 a.m. this morning, before we hand you off to the EA show with Brian Rice. And we're going to get started where we were wrapping up hour number one of the program as well. Jason Witten, we only had a little bit of time there, Will, just a small little second to be able to pound out our thoughts on Jason Witten. Witten, he had a slow year in Las Vegas. He was the number two tight end behind Darren Waller and John Gruden's franchise. And you know, there are a lot of people who are wondering what the Raiders are going to be doing this offseason, trying to find a way, second consecutive season, Will, that they couldn't close games out down the stretch and they failed to make the postseason. I don't know if Jason Witten's ready to hang it up just yet. It just doesn't seem like that Jason Witten's the type of guy to go out the way that that team did. Maybe perhaps another deep postseason run before Witten says, you know what, I'm going to retire for the second time and I'm going to start focusing on other things. But I think you made a really great point there. Look, I don't know Jason personally. I don't believe you know Jason Witten personally. But when you look at somebody, there are just some people, they just don't seem like that they're really fit for a job, or they're not really the top candidate or the right candidate for the job. And I think you brought up a great point about texting 16, 17-year-olds, telling them how fantastic they are just to inflate egos and hope that that's the comment that turns them to sign and have ink dry on an acceptance letter and attend a university. Witten just doesn't seem like the guy who's going to sit there and thumb away on his keyboard on his smartphone and try to convince 4 and 5 stars to come to Knoxville. And I think a lot of the things that you said made sense there to wrap up, would you, about Jason Witten becoming a realistic option to fill the void here in Knoxville.
Yeah, we don't even know if he wants to do it. I think that portion of it, because he did just, the way that Dan Patrick phrased that somebody just threw it out to him as, oh, what about this? What if this were to happen? That'd be awesome. Would it like the Chris Farley show on SNL back in the day? That's what, right. I think that was with Jason Witten. I don't know if Jason, like, I could see him going into the NFL and coaching. I just don't know if Jason Witten wants to sit there and text 16-year-olds all day. And so, and that's part of the job that you have to do when it comes to being a coach at the University of Tennessee. I also just wonder, man, someone without experience, is that the person that you need to bring in to see a university through the NCAA issues that are probably coming? I just don't know if Witten is the right fit for that either. So, look, if it was an NFL coach, I think Witten could be a very, very good coach. I just don't know if sitting there telling 16-year-olds how great they are all day is something that Jason Witten wants to sign up for, if he can just go into the league and just go coach football and not have to worry about it and deal with grown men.
And I think that's the one thing, that the dark cloud that continues to hover over Tennessee, as you mentioned. Let's say Jason Witten does want to coach. Let's say coaching is in his future. Does his first crack at coaching really want to come handicapped or not playing with a full deck because the NCAA has handed out violations against the program that he's going to try to coach for the very first time? Don't you kind of want to start with a clean slate, with an opportunity to kind of come and go as you please, or be able to have a full roster or full allotment of scholarships? This, to me, just, why would you get started in doing something or making a career change and then learning that once you do it, you're not going to be able to have full bore or full call of what you want to do for that career choice? There's everything about this just does not make sense. And you know, and I want to go back to another comment that was made yesterday during the Dan Patrick show. I mean, as you open the program today, I firmly believe that there were McDonald's bags that were used to transfer money between the staff and for the potential players and to the recruits they were trying to get on campus. But to think that that was how it was handled every single time, I'm not believing that whatsoever. I think it has happened before. I think there was a common occurrence there. But to think that this was happening like an assembly line, that there was a grimless guy in a costume, all the McDonald's jokes that were made yesterday, I don't believe that this was the way it was happening every single time. It could have happened a couple times, but not as much as people are making it out to believe.
I will say this. It just would jive with the way things kind of work. I believe Tennessee did it. Two, I don't believe Tennessee was the only school that did that. It's just kind of the way that it works. So you find ways to have somebody else hand out the money, and somebody's just there making sure that the money's going to the right person. So it would make sense that you would go about it that way, as to hand it inside the McDonald's bag. And I don't mean the big bag man money. I mean the here's your walking around money, here's a little something to consider as that kind of money. That's what I'm talking about. And so I do think I mean, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all that Tennessee was handing out money inside McDonald's bags. And again, I don't believe they're the only SEC school that would have done that. You know what we haven't talked about, though, Ivins? And I am surprised because it's 10 after 7 right now. We've been on the air over an hour. We have a betting favorite now for the Tennessee head coaching job.
Yeah, I was waiting to do that coming up around the 7:30 minute because I wanted to see if there was something we could cushion the blow after talking about Tennessee's 26-point loss last night in Florida, which, boy, oh, boy, is that just a whole lot of garbage that's
that
waiting
terrible.
There. But I can tell you right now, look, I'm the type of guy where I am a man of the numbers. I think a lot of people know that. I don't think I have to preface that anymore. When I saw yesterday what a lot of people were talking about the odds-on favorite, depending on which window you shop at, I can tell you right now that I mean, I wouldn't hate it because I'm a fan of what he's doing down in Lafayette. But for those of you who think I'm beating around the bush, yesterday, depending on which book that you're shopping at, I have a feeling Billy Napier's probably the name across a lot of the windows. Billy Napier, what he's been able to do down at Louisiana Lafayette, he has had a strong, strong foundation for years. And remember, Billy Napier was a name that a lot of people were talking about potentially being a man who could fill the job at what's happening at a couple of programs across the SEC, as well as a couple of the programs nationally as well. For those of you out there who are wondering, why have I heard the name Billy Napier? Why does that name sound familiar? Where if you're not watching Raging Cajun football, which I doubt you are, maybe you are. I don't want to say you are, but you aren't. But Will, he was also the popular name of who might take over at South Carolina once they dismiss Will Muschamp. So there should be no surprise here that with another opening in the SEC, Billy Napier's name is emerging again.
Yeah, and here's the thing. He's done a good job. He's done a very good job. Yeah. Kind of a Todd Graham disciple a little bit. He was at Alabama for a little while. He was the OC at Clemson before Dabo got the gig. He's been around the block. He was a former quarterback at Furman. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, that's not a terrible hire. If you end up hiring Billy Napier, if you can get Billy Napier. Now, he removed his name from the South Carolina gig and didn't want it. Does he want the Tennessee gig, or is he waiting for something that you don't have to deal with NCAA issues? I don't know. But if you end up hiring Billy Napier, Tennessee's done a lot worse the last few hires.
You know, look, he has taken a Lafayette program that was laughable. A Lafayette program this year that a lot of people looked at and asked if they could actually compete in the Sun Belt Conference. I would encourage you. Now, granted, I don't think it's fair for you to look at one game to kind of judge a coach based on how the game played out this year or how the season played out this year. But, man, Will, if you want to talk about a game where he looked like his coaching prowess was shining, remember, first game of the year, they went to Ames, Iowa, and they beat Iowa State, a team that won the Fiesta Bowl this year.
Yep.
So, yeah, and I'll tell you this much. A lot of people were talking about games of the year. That was a fantastic game. Man, I wish we could see that again. You want to see a game that really kind of set the tone of how good college football was during the pandemic era? They played each other once this year. Louisiana just lost to Coastal Carolina. We know how awesome the story Coastal Carolina was this year. They were supposed to play again in the Sun Belt Conference Championship game. And let me just put it like this. There were a lot of people who were lining up wanting to get tickets or wanting to sit on the couch to make sure they didn't miss that rematch between Coastal and Louisiana Lafayette. But because of a COVID positive test from the Chanticleer side of things, that game never happened. You want to talk about games that we missed out seeing this year? I understand a lot of people are okay with what happened with the Final Four in the college football playoff. The best game that we didn't see this year because of COVID was this game between Lafayette and Coastal. And I just encourage you, if you can find a YouTube or a search engine, go back and watch Lafayette football against Iowa State and go back and watch that Lafayette game when they played each other the first time against Coastal and Sunbelt play. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. We'll get to Tennessee's whooping. They took it. They took it last night against Florida, and Florida made sure to throw a little bit of McDonald's jokes and puns in there as well via social media once the butt whooping was complete. That's Will. I'm Tyler. The starting lineup continues next on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Not a good night for Tennessee basketball as Florida crushed the sixth-ranked Vols, 75-249 the final score. The shorthanded Gators shot 49% from the field, had four players score double figures. Florida also forced 18 turnovers, while Tennessee was led by John Fulkerson's 15 points. Schedule update for the Lady Vols on Sunday. The team will now host Kentucky at 2 o'clock inside TBA. The top 25 showdown is a makeup from January the 3rd. Lady Vols were previously set to play at Vanderbilt on Sunday, but the Commodores have elected not to continue the season due to the coronavirus pandemic. Former South Carolina quarterback Ryan Helinski has announced his transfer to Northwestern. Alabama is targeting former Jags coach Doug Marrone as offensive line coach. And Ryan Nielsen received a new deal from the Saints, so he will not be taking over the defensive coordinator position at LSU. Hoop scores. Number 3, Villanova held off Seton Hall 76-74. Number 7, Michigan blasted Maryland 87-63. Purdue upset number 15, Ohio State 67-65. And number 19, Missouri defeated South Carolina 81-70. All-star slugger George Springer and the Blue Jays have reached a reported six-year deal worth $150 million. And Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton has passed away of cancer at the age of 75. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Mary Kane.
Pleasure.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
TSL back on your radio for this Wednesday morning. Very chilly Wednesday on tap today on Rocky Top. Good morning, Tyler Ivins. Will West at 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Clearly, super producer Eric Kane doesn't follow the rules here. I thought we specifically said no more dancing in the dark during rejoins because now that song's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the afternoon. Unless you're doing that on purpose, Kaner. You seem like you're an honest man. So if you'd like to speak your honesty now, go ahead and admit Bruce Springsteen was put there for that particular reason just to have it stuck in my head.
I'm not smart enough to remember what you like and what you don't like. So.
I thought we said no Bruce Springsteen, and I promise you, man, you want to see two people fight, you want to talk about like backstage brawl fight, if anybody plays that weekend song that's been put on repeat that he's going to perform at the Super Bowl, that whatever that electronic keyboard song he plays, Blinding Lights, that's how you know. That's like Red Matador blood carpet if I see that. So I appreciate
you. Yeah.
No, you're not going to have to find it. You want to bury it in a time capsule like you're a seven-year-old at elementary school waiting to open it up 30 years from now. Speaking of opening things up, how about a can of whoop-a? That's what happened last night to Florida. Every possible way Tennessee could have failed at a game, they did it yesterday. It just kind of is what it is. It was offensive struggles, and, man, Florida just absolutely destroyed Tennessee on the boards last night, 75-49. Tennessee now falls to 10-2, 4-2 in conference play. Will, I went back and watched the second half. I ended up hitting the DVR record while I was doing a few things around the place. I sat back down on the couch, rewound, hit the final 20 minutes, and it was not good whatsoever. The first half, there were struggles. Tennessee was still in the game, though, at the break. Florida absolutely gator bait buried this Tennessee team in the second half, and Lord have mercy on every soul on that roster today when they get back to Knoxville and they have practice today, because Rick Barnes seems like the type of person where what did Kevin Hart say in his stand-up comedy? You're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. I think Tennessee basketball is going to have a learning moment today when they have practice back at TBA today or back at Pratt today.
Look, it's they're not a good enough team offensively for them to be able to slack off on the defensive end and take their rest on the defensive end. They're not. So with the defense isn't there, when the defense is there, it covers up a lot of the deficiencies they have offensively at times.
Yeah.
And if the outside shot's falling, the jumper's falling, that covers some things up at times. When the outside shot's not falling, and when you're in a situation where you're not, the defense just isn't there. I mean, Vitale said it last night during the broadcast. Where's the rotation? Where's what, you know, they've been a monster defensively, Tennessee has. And against Florida last night, they just weren't. It was lack of effort last night. It really was. On the defensive end that ended up getting Tennessee got, I don't know that they beat Florida, but they don't get beat down by Florida like that. And, yeah, look, when it comes to lack of effort, if you're a coach, you got to break people of that. And so it's a young team. There's going to be those nights that they just come out flat. And last night was one of those nights they came out flat, and Florida punched them in the mouth for it. So for Rick Barnes, he's got to, you know, he's got to put a foot in their backside to make sure that they stay motivated and they understand you don't ever get to get your rest on the defensive end on his teams.
I was exchanging text messages with two VFLs last night. I was a little busy, so being able to get back to them, especially during a coaching search, can be difficult. One particular, we've had him on the program before, Clarence Swearingen. And talking to Swearingen, he just simply, the text I was getting for him last night was leadership. And, you know, I don't know if there's been a – de facto leader. I think I know the fan base, kind of like this year, there were a lot of people during the football season, the struggles, say, where's the leadership on this team? Well, I guess Trey Smith is the leader, but there's got to be, you know, there's always that kind of like blank, we don't know who the leader is conversation, especially when there's struggles for any program at any sport. I don't know if there is any leadership on this team. I guess, again, that conversation could carry over to John Fulkerson because he's one of the upperclassmen, because he is one of the guys that you see on a lot of the posters or advertisement around town. Eve Pond's another one of those, a friend of the program, reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Last night was one of the games where it was a learning moment for Tennessee, and hopefully this is something that they can put in the pocket. I mean, even Fulkerson seemed a little dazed after the game was over last night when he was asked, simply put, you know, what do you take away from this 26-point loss? Fulkerson looked like a deer in the headlights going, wow, 26 points, I didn't even know we lost by that much. It was a game where from the tip, Florida just looked like that they wanted it more. Turnovers after turnovers, sloppy stuff in the backcourt leading to easy buckets for Tennessee. And simply put, last night, they just couldn't hit a shot last night. I can't recall the last time before last night I saw Santiago Viscovi absolutely just airball shot after shot. There were a couple of things that were happening last night that just looked out of the norm. I haven't used this reference in a long time, but it really looked like the Monstars out there from Space Jam where they had lost all their talent. It was elsewhere, and this looked like a team that hadn't played together before. They looked very clueless out there, and it looked like there was a struggle from opening tip.
Yeah, look, an 1 for 12 between Viscovi and Bailey from beyond the arc. That's not going to get it done. The biggest thing to me was the defense wasn't there, though, in that effort. And I do think that Clarence is right. I mean, it is leadership. Who's that guy that's going to snatch somebody up and say, stop shooting? You know what I mean? Like move the ball, work the ball. No, don't take somebody in option. Hey, where were you on the defensive rotation? That's the tough part. You've got a lot of really nice guys, especially among your upperclassmen. You got some really, really, really nice guys. And so somebody's going to have to be the one that stands up and is that vocal leader and yells at the young guys and says, no, we're not going to not rotate defensively. And that's one of those things that, we'll see how it works between now and the time we get to tournament time. We're under 2 months away from tournament time right now, so it's coming, and it's coming quickly. So Tennessee's going to have to start figuring these things out. And how you figure these things out, unfortunately, though, is you take losses like this, and you get humiliated. And so you would think that this game against Missouri this weekend, Konzo's going to hit you in the mouth. That's what Konzo's going to do.
They just dropped 81 last night against Carolina.
It ain't going to be pretty. It's going to be a rock fight. It's going to be old-school Big Ten basketball. It's going to be putting the head into your chest, you know what I mean? But you're going to be in a rock fight. So you go out there and play soft like you did against Florida last night. You're going to get got against Missouri as well. So Tennessee needs to get their act together. I would also say this. You missed more than half of your free throws.
Yeah.
Like how often do you see that from, frankly, anybody? Shaquille O'Neal hit more than half of his free throws, for gosh sake. So you're 12 of 25 for the free throw line. That was just an off night altogether for Tennessee. Those are going to happen, but the one thing it's the Pat Summit. The one thing that you can always have is effort. Even if you're having a bad night shooting, even if you're making a couple of mental mistakes out there, as long as you're giving effort, rebounding and defense are about effort. And Tennessee got out of effort last night.
Coming up on the other side of the program, who looks better with a bald head, Konzo Martin or Frank Martin? We'll talk more about that. No, we're not going to be talking about bald heads in the SEC. Okay. By the way, every time I see Frank Martin with a bald head, I almost think that it's like a movie being played, that there's no business of Frank Martin having a bald head. He's got a skull cap on. No, that's not the case last night. South Carolina and Missouri, two of those last night combining for 151 points. So we'll see if they continue that offensive onslaught when Tennessee and the Tigers get together coming up this weekend at Thompson Bowling Arena. Five burning questions, your phone calls, including where Tennessee stands on the recruiting trail after the dismissal of Jeremy Pruitt on Monday. You're inside the starting lineup. Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1. You're listening to The Sports Animal. Eric Kane with a pocket full of quarters this morning. Bleeding over into Will's Wednesday playlist on the starting lineup 99.1. The Sports Animal, Tyler Ivins, the aforementioned Mr. West. He will be taking us all the way up to 9 p.m. this morning. He's kind of like our Rudolph, Will West. Are you okay with filling that role, being the Rudolph to guide our sleigh all the way to 9 a.m. and hand things over to the Eric Kane Show with Brian Rice?
I stopped drinking, so I don't have a red nose anymore, so I don't know if it necessarily fits, but we'll make it work.
Look, if there's roles I've got to take over on this program, I'll be more than happy to oblige. I just want to let you know I'm here for you, being able to help you when it comes to having an adult beverage, which I'm sure quite a few people were having last night. You just heard during Hoop Scoop and during the last segment, Tennessee with a dreadful night on the floor against the Gators in Gainesville. Tennessee back at home Saturday afternoon, call it evening. They'll be taking on Missouri at TBA. What do we have for you, or what does Eric Kane have for you? We'll find out now. Five burning questions on your radio at 99.1.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, mono-a-mono. It's time for five burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. Saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
Now, number one, should Tennessee look to go outside of the family for its next AD hire?
I personally believe that both the athletics director and the head coach need to be outside of the family. Now, a lot of people look at what just happened recently with Jeremy Pruitt saying, well, hey, look, that's what happens when you don't bring in a VFL or a Vol tie. I think that this just is kind of the outlier there, okay? I think that there are a lot of people in the past that they want to do what's best for Tennessee, but I think sometimes keeping it in the family kind of mafia style, if you will, sometimes things need to be shook up. And I think maybe if it is for the head coach or for the athletic director position, it needs to be looked in a different direction. More coach, say, than AD Will West.
Yeah, look, if you hire Ingram, he's qualified. That's the biggest thing for me. Hires, if you just don't make that a priority. If it ends up working out that way, that's a plus. But that's not what you're looking for. It's somebody just because they've been here before. If you hire Ingram, I think it's unbelievably qualified. I think it'd be a very nice hire. But otherwise, hire somebody outside the family. The biggest key is hire someone who's done it before and someone that doesn't suck at their job. That's the biggest thing that Tennessee hasn't done in a long time.
Do you believe Patrick Mahomes will be on the field for the Chiefs this weekend?
Oh, yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the field, especially if the Chiefs are saying he's fine and he's ready to go. He's fine and he's ready to go, and the NFL says, yeah, but he's in the NFL concussion protocol, not the Chiefs concussion protocol. If Patrick Mahomes can possibly be on the field this weekend, Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the field this weekend.
Never once have I questioned that Patrick Mahomes was not going to start this weekend for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're getting Josh Allen versus Pat Mahomes. We never were not getting Pat Mahomes versus Josh Allen. We will continue to get a fantastic game. Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen for the AFC Championship.
Yeah, but if he's not ready, let's just do what Colin Coward explained yesterday. Let's just let the NFL postpone the game until Pat Mahomes can play.
Colin Coward doesn't believe that.
It still makes me mad. It still frustrates me that people go on there.
So he did what he needed to do.
Yeah, you're selling out. You're selling out. I mean, it's
how
awful.
Many times do we have to tell you that there are idiots in radio that just say things for a reaction? They don't genuinely believe the things that they say.
Look, can I be real? Like, there was a time where Coward would make a lot of arguments that I would like say, I don't agree with that, but I see the argument there. But there's something about as soon as you go to Fox, you just decide to start saying things you don't believe, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if contractually you're obligated to just say a bunch of crazy stuff you don't actually believe. But goodness, as soon as you start working for Fox, it seems to be that's the thing.
I'm a 100 emoji. I'm as real as they get. Thumbs up or thumbs down to the NCAA moving the opening weekend of the tournament from Thursday through Sunday to Friday through Monday.
Thumbs down. This is not good whatsoever. Why are you taking away from your Sunday ratings, Saturday, Sunday ratings, when you need second round action? That's when you get a lot of those storylines. Will, how often do we see, what do you mean Kentucky versus Duke is a second-round matchup? What do you mean, coincidentally, the storyline came together on the field of 32? Now you're going to put that as a Sunday-Monday slate? They're going to learn that this one year, trying things out during the pandemic, this is going to be one of those ideas they wish they never did.
Yeah, this is stupid. There's no reason to do this. There's no benefit to doing this. I don't understand why they're doing it. Maybe there's a venue that they couldn't get until Thursday, or maybe they couldn't get all the testing done in time and things like that, and so that's why they pushed the first four to Thursday. So it forced this. If you give me the tournament, I'll live with it, but thumbs down to this for being a long-term change.
Plus, how many people get excited knowing that they get Tuesday, Wednesday, first four action? Two games Tuesday, two games Wednesday? Well, it helps us get through that week a little quicker before we get to Thursday's opening round.
Well, the lack of productivity, too. It's one thing at the end of the week to have less productivity. It is tough to tell employers you're not going to get anything done on a Monday. That is tough.
On Monday, I said we had the best five burning question ever in the history of the game. Today's might be better.
Okay.
Today is actor Rainn Wilson's 55th birthday. Where does Dwight rank among all characters on The Office?
Okay, this may cost me the five birdie questions
it's
win
going
today.
To.
I don't care. The truth shall set you free. You know who said that? The Lord. So
wow.
It is Michael Scott 1. It is Dwight 2. Without Michael Scott, having Dwight didn't make the show good, and it wasn't good without Michael Scott. But Dwight would be number 2. You could replace Jim. You could replace Pam. You could replace anybody else on there. He's not my favorite, but he's definitely number 2 behind Michael Scott.
It's Dwight Schrute number 1. It is Michael Scott number 2. I'm not going to tell you who my number 3 is because it's going to upset a lot of people that are grading the scale right now. I will tell you right now, though.
I know who
Dwight,
it is.
Do you know who it is, Cater? Maybe you can explain after this grade period is over. But simply put, Dwight Schrute, if it wasn't for Schrute Farms, if it wasn't for the beet farmer himself, if it wasn't Angela's love of her life, would we even talk about The Office today? No, I don't think we would.
Love of her life would be her 9 cats. Today is National Cheese Lovers Day.
Ooh.
What's the best cheese?
It's cheddar. It's cheddar cheese because you can put cheddar cheese on everything and it's fantastic. You can't put Gouda on everything. You can't put Swiss on everything. You can't put American on everything. Cheddar cheese, number 1, gold medal. I mean, who goes to the store and gets Cheez-Its and say, ooh, let's get the Jalapeno Jack Cheez-Its? Nobody does that. It's cheddar.
It is sharp cheddar cheese, very specifically. Go ahead and give him a tug and do the man up when it comes to that, right? Or woman up if you're female. It is the sharp cheddar cheese, not just any old cheddar cheese. I ain't trying to eat that light cheddar cheese. Give me the sharp cheddar. But, you know, honorable mention of the pepper jack. It's actually pretty delicious.
Thankfully, I didn't have to go against the Lord this morning because I also agree with Will. Both of those performances, if we're being honest, by Steve Carell and Rainn Wilson, just incredible. But yep. There's no Office without the character of Michael Scott, and more importantly the actor and the performance by Steve Carell. It starts with him and then it goes down. I mean, they are at the top. They're 1A. We're slightly under there. Number 2 is Rainn Wilson, and then it's a significant drop off before you get to anybody
else. Massive. Yeah. The show, if you don't have, like, I mean, really, you take away either one of those and it doesn't work. Because I think if Rainn Wilson had left instead of Steve Carell, I think The Office would have been kind of after he left as well. So you needed both. And so, but because Michael Scott did leave, because Steve Carell did leave, that's why I think that it's.
Why don't you just go ahead and admit to the listening audience the reason why you gave Will the win today? It's because of who I have ranked 3rd all time on character list.
Yeah, you love Nelly. I don't even know her. Nelly Bertram, is that her
Bertram?
Character name?
Bertram.
Yeah, you have some. I mean, this is not a Robin Scherbowski. I mean, Robin Scherbowski's a main character, and there's a lot of things to like about her. I mean, there's nothing to like about Nelly, and
she came in, she took over the head job while Andy was gone. She did a power move. She's convincing. What more do you need to know about Nelly Bertram? Her power moves are, I mean, it's intoxicating how powerful of a woman she is.
I mean, the character of Pam. Go ahead, Will.
Did you guys watch Space Force?
Yes, I did. Yes.
I couldn't get through
episode 1.
I thought
it was just absolutely terrible.
It was not great.
I got an episode and a half in, and I was done.
It was not great. I mean, I think Steve Carell's performance was okay, but just the overall show, the storyline, the writing. And it shocked me because I only watched it because it was Steve Carell and Greg Daniels. They created it, and of course Steve Carell starred it. And I thought Greg Daniels is the creator of the American version of The Office, and so I thought it would be spectacular. Mm-hmm. It was not, and I don't even know if I'll watch season 2.
All right, boys.
I don't think it was just our hopes were too high, or we'd set the bar too high. I just don't think it's a very good show overall together.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
We're talking about who the athletic director is going to be at the University of Tennessee, who the head football coach is going to be at the University of Tennessee. Close 3rd is what the roster is going to look like, the incoming talent to the University of Tennessee. Cannon, we get back on the other side. Your work with VolQuest gives you that inside look in the communication with some of these student-athletes, and not only that, but if you're taking some of the news that came out yesterday from one of the VolQuest members, there's a very good chance that the roster could look very depleted next year with some of the names who are rumored to be possibly wanting to leave the University of Tennessee program. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivins and Will West, TSL continues, wraps up hour number 2 next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Not a good night for the Tennessee basketball team. Florida crushed the 6th-ranked Volunteers 75-49 in Gainesville. The shorthanded Gators shot 49% from the field, had 4 players finish in double figures. Florida also forced 18 turnovers defensively. while Tennessee had one player finish in double figures, John Fulkerson with 15 points. Lady Vol schedule note, Sunday's game will not be against Vanderbilt as the Commodores have decided not to continue on with the season due to the pandemic. Instead, it'll be a top 25 showdown, 2 o'clock at TBA. The Lady Vols will host Kentucky. Again, this will be on Sunday. Former South Carolina quarterback Ryan Helinski has announced he's transferring to Northwestern. Some sad news in the sport of baseball. Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton has passed away of cancer at the age of 75. Sutton won over 300 games, spent the last 30 years broadcasting Atlanta Braves games both on radio and television. And all-star slugger George Springer and the Blue Jays have reached a reported 6-year, $150 million deal. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 747, Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Never open a Snapchat from him when you're around loved ones. Will West and a starting lineup on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Starting lineup continues for your Wednesday morning. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Let's look at Tennessee's roster, shall we? All this coming up after yesterday learning post by Austin Price on both BallQuest and trickling over into social media as well. There's a buzz around Tennessee right now. This is me reading from Austin Price's timeline. There's a growing buzz around the university's program that Eric Gray, Henry To'oto'o, Darnell Wright, and Guevaris Crouch have expressed interest in entering the transfer portal. Again, that's coming from Austin Price over at VolQuest. One of those names could be detrimental to Tennessee's growth for the 2021 season. Will, you're talking about your leading tackler. You're talking about arguably the second-best offensive lineman you have left with Trey Smith and Wanye Morris gone. Your second-best tackler in Guevaris Crouch, and you have the guy who's supposed to be leading your backfield next year with Ty Chandler leaving for UNC. What could this mean for the program losing one of those names, let alone every individual four names that I just listed off there?
It means the rebuild's a little tougher, right? And so it's not the end of the world if you lose those guys. We don't know who's going to be eligible and who's not next year either way. So there is that. But look, some of these guys were tied to Jeremy Pruitt, and that's okay. If that's what they want to do, go do you, live your life. Tennessee's going to probably be facing at least a one-year postseason ban, which means anybody can transfer one time without having to sit out a year either way. So this is what comes with NCAA issues. And so for Tennessee, it's not the prettiest situation. Like, it's an ugly situation. Nobody wants to be here. I'm going to be honest with you. Ain't a single guy there that you're going to look at and you say 4 years from now, oh, man, if we'd have just had him. So you don't want to lose him. I'm not saying they're not. Those are really, really good players. But there ain't a single soul there that can't be replaced. Everyone in the entire world is replaceable. But it does mean that this upcoming year could be uglier than it was going to be even, you know, before all this happened. Cater, Dylan Brooks as well, asking out of his national letter of intent.
Yeah, that's a report from a national 24/7 sports writer late last night. So hopefully we'll see some more on it today. But Dylan Brooks, which, Tennessee's highest rated prospect, signed with the early signing period, waited up until near the new year to announce that he did sign. But he's a good player, and he's a position of need for Tennessee, a guy that was probably going to contend for snaps right away, and reportedly asking out of his national letter of intent. Now, that's a process. Of course, it's up to Tennessee to release that or grant him that. Tennessee could say no. If they say no, you can appeal it. It's a whole thing, but Dylan Brooks reportedly looking like he's going to try to do that, according to a report late last night. We'll have to see, how that develops throughout the day.
And I will say this for Tennessee, yeah, Big Cat Brian as well. For Tennessee, let the kids out of them. If they want out of their NLI, let them out of their NLI. You're better off doing that. You don't want somebody here that doesn't want to be here. And at the end of the day, if this is still amateur athletics, not professional athletics, the kids aren't getting paid, then go do the right thing. And if you do the right thing, it usually works out for you long term.
Big Cat Brian, who committed to Tennessee over the weekend, of course, he's been a 4-year starter at Auburn. He committed over the weekend. He posted this big, long paragraph thing, this graphic and all that. He has taken that off his Twitter account. I haven't seen an official decommitment or whatever, but, he has not signed, and so it was just a verbal thing. He was coached by Shelton Felton in high school. That was a huge, 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 probably the only reason why, if we're being honest, he came to Tennessee, and now Shelton Felton's gone. So we will have to see what the future holds for Big Cat Bryant. That was a huge pickup for Tennessee over the weekend. Again, like talking about Dylan Brooks, a position of need, the edge rushing the passer.
Eric Kane, appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.
Will West, shall we hand out some Harmony pillows from M. Lilly? Because if the answer is yes, we need two callers right now, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Kaner, he cuts his mic to plug in the wheel, and you get a chance to win to kick off hour number three of the program as well. Get a chance to talk about McDonald's bags and Jason Witten coming up in hour number three of the program. Who the leader right now in the betting favorite is to be Tennessee's next head football coach. And basketball last night took a butt whooping last night. They got to pick their switch and they went to the backyard in the Gainesville, Florida area and got handed that butt whooping. We'll talk a whole lot more about it in the next 60 minutes here on your home for Tennessee Athletics, 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.